on the record.
Request a motion to accept the nominations, put it to a vote.
I'd like to point out before we do this that Mr. Carlton is not in attendance today. He has an excused absence. Apparently, we are without chair and need to nominate a new chair. I'd like to put forward to the group on the dais if there are any nominations for chair.
A point of information, please.
Yes, sir.
Since the two of us are brand new on the board, it would be interesting to know who's got the most experience, who's been on the board the longest. I don't think I could nominate anybody without that kind of information.
I understood completely. Would anyone like to give a background as to why they think that they would be a good chair?
Well, I'm not considering myself, but I would like to nominate Mr. Carlson as our chair, since he is not here to defend himself.
All right.
I'll second that.
May we nominate an individual who's not in attendance? Leave the room. My Rogers rule of orders fails at this point.
I guess my recommendation would be not to, in the event that that person was not interested or did not feel they could fulfill the responsibility of the position.
I would tend to agree that that's kicking the can down the road. And so, thank you for your nomination. Are there any other nominations? You're still interested in knowing more about the individual. Does anyone choose to put themselves forward for chair?
Oh, I'd like to make another nomination.
Yes.
for you, Gil. Second that.
My background is for the new members. I've been on the committee now for 2 years. A little more. I'm recently retired from Seattle, and my parents have lived up here for 40 years. They've recently passed away, and I'm taking the opportunity to be a citizen of this fabulous community. It's something I always wanted to do. My background is in business, but my degree is in land use planning.
Thank you very much.
We have two nominees, two people have nominated. Is there any other nominations?
Do we need to nominate a vice chair?
Yes. Mr. Chair, I would recommend doing them individually. Do the approval of the chair first and then follow that with a vice.
Let's stay with the chair. Pardon me for not having experienced. This is my first time at this. Any other nominations? Without any other nominations, may I ask for a vote for Gil Erickson as chair? By raising your hand, thank you very much. Motion's passed. That's all.
Thank you for being willing to do that.
I don't know how it works. Vice chair. This is where we can all stay. We had a nomination for Jay Carlson. As vice chair, I think that we can comfortably nominate him today. If he chooses not to accept it at the next hearing, we'll just do it over again.
We got to get about second.
May I see hands for Jay Carlson as vice chair? Unanimously passed. I'm still open to all the help I can get. So we have chair, vice chair.
I believe you can proceed.
Maybe proceed to open the meeting.
Remainder of the meeting.
This morning, we had public hearings on three items. COA 105, all approval of meetings, minutes from the past. Thank you very much. Does everyone have a copy of the minutes from the December 8th meeting? If so, take a moment to review. Does anyone want to bring forward any changes or comments? Not. Is there a motion to approve minutes?
I shall move that the minutes Thursday, December 8th be approved. Thank you, Matt.
I'll second.
Second. All in agreement, please raise your hand. Minutes are approved from December 8th, 2016. This morning, we have a public hearing on COA 105-16, the Coopville School District proposal to have a covered grandstand. EBY 16-064, Bauer, I take it, and Lauren John, 1573 Penn Cove Road, Oak Harbor, new single family residence. And EBY 16-048, Boyle, Jim and Fran from 2126 Madrona Way, another new single family residence. This has been continued from the November 10th hearing. I'd like to point out before we go on that these proceedings will be recorded. The hearing will be held in accordance with the land use procedures required by the town, county, and state of Washington. The Historic Preservation Committee's role is to determine on behalf of the town or county whether a development proposal is consistent with the EB's National Land and Historic Reserve design guidelines, and the Secretary of Interior standards for rehabilitation as applicable. If determined that consent, the commission will grant or will recommend the granting of a certificate of appropriateness, which may include conditions to modify the proposal as the basis for a finding of consistency. The commission's determination is based on the information provided in the application, staff's analysis of consistency with design guidelines, and other information presented to the commission through the hearing process. All testimony and evidence presented to the commission should address applicable design guidelines of the Secretary of the Interior standards or provide contextual information through which consistency or lack of consistency can be understood. The hearing process will start with a presentation by staff, followed by questions to staff from the commission. The applicant will then have the opportunity to augment, clarify, or rebut staff's comments and to respond to questions raised by the commission. After the applicant's comments, interested parties may address the commission regarding compliance with the guidelines and standards. Please be aware that you must sign the audience comment sheet or request to be a party of record to have a standing for an appeal. Any proponent, opponent, or other party interested in the land use matter to be heard by the Historic Preservation Commission may challenge the appearance of fairness of any commissioner to participate in such hearing and decision. Such challenge must state facts relied upon by the party relating to the commissioner's bias, prejudgment, personal interest, or other facts from which the party has concluded that the commissioner will not be able to make a decision in an impartial manner. Failure to raise a challenge now will preclude an appeal based on that issue. Does any commissioner wish to declare a conflict based on interest, personal interest, or bias to disclose any ex parte communication or a site visit? Does I see no hands. Does any member of the public wish to challenge a commissioner's impartiality? None noted. I now open the hearing. COA 10516, the Coopville School District at 10 Main for a covered grandstand. I would ask the staff to please present their report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good morning to the members of the commission. I would note for the record that there is some perhaps disagreement on the address. The town has it addressed as 2 South Main Street, and the application did note 10 South Main. It is the same parcel that we are referring to. The parcel is located within Area 1 of the reserve, as shown on the map on the screen. This is the approximate location of the athletic field and track adjacent to which the proposal will be located. So this slide provides some context for it. State Route 20 is on the north, and the Kettles Trail runs parallel to State Route 20 within the state's right-of-way. South Main is adjacent, relatively adjacent to on the east. Both public ways are over 500 feet from the proposed location for the grandstand, which is shown in red. As noted, this is proposed on the elementary school campus. This is the elementary school building. This is the school district's multi-purpose building. Immediately adjacent to the east is the Big Rock apartment complex. There are some single-family homes south of that. Directly south of the track and athletic field is a manufactured home park and some storage facilities as well. To the west is outside the town limits. It is generally forested property that is owned by the school district as well. proposal, as noted, is a covered covered bleachers, covered grandstand. This is the view from the south end. It will face the track, and again, will be located on the east side of the track. It will feature a sort of centered north-south. We'll have a press box. This is a plan view showing the press box on the ultimately proposed. The this is the accessible route of travel to get up to the first level for the wheelchair seating. This will actually be on the north end rather than the south end as shown, and there are stairs that will be on the south end. This is the rear view. So from the east, the view will be of the understructure of the grandstand, and the seats will, the backs of the seating area will be seen, as well as the structural elements. Along the back of the upper seating area, a wall is proposed of corrugated metal. So the view, and it is staff's understanding that this view, this press box, is actually looking through the wall, that the wall will enclose that. This may be something that the applicant can clarify. But it is staff's understanding that it will extend 108 feet from end to end, north to south, and about approximately 26 feet from the ground to the roof. The roof will slope, as noted in the side view, will slope up toward from east to west, and at the lower end on the east side, it will be 26 feet in height and 28 feet on the track side. These are just details of the proposed stair access, and then a side view of the proposed wheelchair access. Again, this is the context with the school grounds and apartment complex. Another view of it, this from the north, this is the track as currently constructed. This was constructed in 2016. Currently, the home seating is on the west side, and the visitor seating on the east. The grandstand will replace the current bleachers, visitor bleachers on the east. And this is, again, a view of the manufactured home park and storage complex to the south. The reference buildings in the immediate vicinity of the site include this covered play structure immediately to the north associated with the elementary school, what is now the home bleachers, which will be the visitor bleachers, with construction at the grandstand and that storage building behind. This is the closest building to school district building to the grandstand, and this is again the multi-purpose building, a two-story structure, masonry construction. Then this is the elementary school, which is also in the immediate vicinity, which is 1 to 1.5 stories. This is from the east, the main entrance. These are two other views of portions of it. The upper one shows the 1.5 story height, and then at the west end of the complex is this one-story classroom area. So the, as noted, the Big Rock Apartments are adjacent to the east. This is the closest building. It will parallel the proposed grandstand. The grandstand will again replace these bleachers. This pole will be moved back perhaps 2 to 3 feet to accommodate the 27 feet from the track, the 27 foot width of the depth of the grandstand from the track to the pole. The grandstand at 108 feet will extend approximately to this point, and then again a similar distance on the other side. It's another view. So the grandstand will be essentially from this point to the track. This is about a 22-foot open area on the school district property behind it. The, as noted in the staff report, the back of the grandstand will be approximately 35 feet from this facade of the multifamily building. Again, the area we're talking about, so there will be about a 22-foot area in back of it between the fence and the building. So according to staff's analysis, the primary issues raised in the guidelines include guidelines to avoid continuous massing of structures, and as noted in the staff report, and this is one correction, the staff report, two primary issues came out of the staff original staff discussion of this, and these were these issues were discussed with the applicant prior to this meeting. The first is avoiding the continuous massing of structures, and the concern is that we will have 108 foot by approximately 15 foot elevated panel that will become the view from the apartment. And as proposed, it is a long, flat surface, corrugated metal, but essentially a continuous surface. And it's not like a typical building facade in that the lower story, in effect, will be open, will not have the same effective massing, but the concern is some modulation of this long ribbon of surface. Second, there is a guideline that talks about avoiding the mass and scale impacts on adjacent development or adjacent residential area. And clearly, again, this will change the view from the apartment complex, which currently looks straight across the athletic fields at the forest on the other side. This will be, in effect, a view block for them. It does comply with all setbacks, so the town zoning structure, which is not a concern of the commission, but I think is an important point, is that the zoning would allow a building to be located closer to the property line than this is proposed, although there is still the concern about the modulation of that surface. Then, new development is intended to reflect the design scale and materials of surrounding structures. In this case, we have the primarily CMU construction of the elementary school complex. We have the wood appearance, exterior materials of the multifamily complex, and then some other more distant, we have the standard wood construction of single family, and then the manufactured home park, and the more industrial storage complex to the south. The net effect is there is no real character developed between, particularly looking at the multifamily complex and the school structures. There are different materials. There are one and two story heights. Different roof lines. There is really a variety of expressions of architectural character in the immediate vicinity. That said, there is nothing that particularly resembles a metal constructed grandstand in this area. Staff has reviewed this really as an outlier use. It is the construction really relates to to the use itself. The construction is typical for a use of this sort, whether it's bleachers or covered bleachers. These are typically constructed of metal, but it will not. It does not reflect or reference any of the surrounding materials in terms of, or structures in terms of materials or design. For new development in general, metal surfaces are allowed in small amounts, and that is specified in the guidelines. However, under the governmental institutional guidelines, there is a reference to other materials being appropriate when detailed and finished compatible with surrounding development. This will be an accessory structure. It is determined to be accessory to the athletic use of the field as well as the educational use of the larger campus. So this is considered an accessory rather than a primary use. The guidelines say that accessory structures should be compatible with a historic context and setting. In this case, the closest contributing resource is a single-family home it's over 400 feet away. So there's no clear historical context in terms of contributing resources to this structure. And finally, the guidelines for institutional and governmental buildings state that materials on accessory structures should reflect the use and function of the building. Staff believes in this case clearly the metal does reflect that function as the typical building materials for a structure of this type. So to get back to the two primary concerns are, first of all, modulation of the rear side of the building, where it will have the closest view of, and being 500 feet over 500 feet from any public way, there won't be any street view, but it will have this clear view from the adjacent apartment complex. So this will be the view. As noted, the bottom portion will be open, but the top will be a 108 foot ribbon of unbroken panel. So as discussed with the applicant, and the applicant is agreeable to these conditions. The first would be that the east side of the grandstand would be painted a dark neutral color. Green has been proposed. The applicant is open to other direction. This is intended to make it less prominent than a lighter, brighter color. Second, that the painted metal surfaces would be matte and non-reflective as required by the design guidelines. The applicant will plant, will provide vegetative screening and modulation to the building by planting a minimum of 4 trees between the building and the fence, between the grandstand and the fence. Evergreen species is proposed, and one that would not outgrow the location, so that the primary foliage would be below the top of the grandstand, and that it would be appropriate for this density. This would be a fairly tight planting for trees, but certainly there are species that would be appropriate for something approaching a 30-foot on-center density. And finally, staff has asked the applicant whether it would be possible to do, given that it is to some extent a kit building. It is designed for. It's not a custom design. Staff has asked whether there would be an option for offsetting the metal panels that would enclose the rear side of it on either side, and this would not be provide significant relief, but a bit to offset them between the posts, and I can backup, so we have these columns, and the proposal would be to put alternating areas between the columns would be to offset some in back of the column and some in front to provide a bit of shadow and a little bit of relief. And that concludes staff's presentation. Staff's available to answer any questions, clarify anything.
Thank you. Are there any questions from the commission?
Yeah. Does the area underneath the grandstand serve as storage, or will that be sealed off from kids getting under there? I'm asking that because I used to coach track in Marysville. We stored pits under the grandstand, and some kids got in there and torched our pits and burned down the whole stadium. Now, I know this is metal, and that was wood, but let's face it, it's open access the way it looks on here.
This, I think, is a good question for the applicant, and I believe the applicant's representative is here today. Is my there's been no indication that it's will be used for storage. There are other storage buildings. There's one other storage building available currently on the site, and the school district is proposing to come back with another proposal for a new storage building on the site. So I have no reason to believe that this is intended for storage. It will be the only enclosed portion of it. It will not be enclosed on the north or south short ends, and clearly not in the front. The only portion that they have proposed to enclose is that upper portion of the rear.
Any other commissioner comments or questions?
I just wanted to clarify, you said the wheelchair accessible ramp is going to be swapped with the stairs so that it's closer to the access point?
Correct.
Okay.
No, I just... That will close the commissioner question point. Do we have any public comment?
Mr. Chair, I believe an applicant's representative is here who may wish to clarify and provide additional comment.
All right.
Hi, I'm Jim Shank. I'm the superintendent of schools for Coopville School District, and I appreciate the question that was posed about storage underneath the grandstand. There's no plan for that. And you're right on about our request future for additional storage for things such as a pole vault pit, standards, that sort of thing that you'll see in a standard application for a track meet. So that's in response to that. I guess I would comment a little bit further that certainly appreciate the time and effort that staff took in helping put this together for us, and the time that it takes for the group to come together and entertain these thoughts for our proposal. It's something that's of great need for the district. I presented some pictures to staff last week that demonstrated the number of folks that attend at least our football games and soccer games, and there's just not enough place for people to sit. That we have far more people standing and watching the game than seated, and so therefore there's a great need for this as well, and we want to make sure that that's presented. And if you have any questions for me, I'd be glad to answer those. I also have Scott Losey with me. He's our maintenance supervisor, and if you have any specifics, he can address those as well.
Any questions?
I have another one. Has there been any contact with the people who live in the Big Rock facility?
I personally have not visited with them. Scott, I don't know if you have either.
And nobody here from that facility?
This is not an unknown capital project. For instance, when we passed the levy to fund this, I did about 15 to 20 public presentations that discussed these future plans. I don't ever remember entertaining a question from any of the people from Big Rock.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Any other commissioners wishing to be heard?
Mr. Chair, you may wish to close the public comment portion of the hearing.
period. Do we have any at 10:36? Do we have any motions?
What's the question?
Oh, we've gone through comment, staff hearing. Without any other comment, do we have a motion to approve or reject?
I so move that we accept for certificate of appropriateness COA 105-16.
Do we have a second?
Second.
That moved and seconded. I'd like to call for a roll. Yes, sir.
For clarification, would this be with the conditions proposed by staff?
Yes, I would include that.
So the proposal is to approve with the conditions, staff is included. Is that all approved, please? Raise your hand. Here's three hands.
Thank you. Ooh.
Are we prepared for EDY 16-064?
Yes, in just a moment. We're pulling up the presentation right now.
EDY 16-064, Bauer project at 1573 Penn Cove Road, new single path residence. May I please have the staff report?
Laura and John Boyer request a certificate of appropriateness to construct a approximately 1,300 square foot, two-story single-family residence on Penn Cove Road. This is a waterfront property, medium bank, and is located in Design Review Area 1. Location of it, as I mentioned before, Penn Cove Road, just south of Rolling Hills Subdivision. I'd also like to add that I am it's currently under a shoreline exemption permit, which I am working on. So they have the proper shoreline permit for this as well. So this is their site plan, which looks a little bit crazy because it's also part of the shoreline review, and there's a lot of setbacks and buffers going on in this particular location. The home is located right kind of in the center of the property. Penn Cove Road is to the north, and there's the top of the bluff with Penn Cove just to the south. The home is a similar design to many different many homes throughout the reserve, gable roof. It is will be painted shingles for siding, composition roof. And there is some stonework along the bottom here and a stone chimney. Actually, I believe that concludes for this. So staff recommends the approval of EBY 16064 without any conditions, and I'm open to having any questions.
Any questions from commissioners?
Has there been an archaeological examination of this property?
There is one currently, yes. And with the shoreline permit, they had submitted the proper paperwork for DAP, and we are just awaiting confirmation from Department of Archaeology and Historic Preservation.
Any other questions for staff? No more staff questions. Do we have any public comment? If so, please rise and state your name. Not hearing any public comment. We have a motion, or we have a proposal by staff to approve without amendments. We have a public comment. Are there any motions to approve or deny?
I would move to approve that. I'll second that.
We have a motion to approve and a second. With that, would anyone who like to pass this motion please signify, raise your hand. We have a unanimous approval. To EBY 16048, Boyle, Jim and Fran, 2126 Madrona Way, new single family residence. May we please have the staff report?
So Jim Boyle requests a certificate of appropriateness to construct a single family residence on Madrona Way. This also is a shoreline property, and it has an approved shoreline exemption permit associated with this as well that I also worked on. It is in Design Review Area 1, Madrona Way, right on the west end of Penn Cove. This is the existing site. There is a single-family residence located on it, and they plan on removing and constructing new in largely the same footprint with some slight expansion in the rear. This is the site plan as currently proposed. As you can see, there's some expansion. There's also the addition of some vegetation along the north end. The home is of modern design. It has a butterfly wing roof. It has a somewhat large footprint, but it is broken up. The facade is broken up through material changes and recesses, giving it a slightly smaller appearance. So they are using a combination of wood, stone, fiber cement, and steel. The roof will be a metal roof. So this is the west and north elevations. The west elevation will be what is visible from Madrona Way. Here are the south and east building elevations, and the east will be the view seen from Penn Cove. And here are some just additional elevations. Submitted with the application was also a wood fence design, which you can see in this picture. Horizontal, it'll be wood, So staff recommends the approval of EBY 16-048 with the following conditions. Staff recommends the fence gap openings be larger in order to comply with EBY Chapter 4.10 for fences. And in that it says, elsewhere in the reserve, use posted wire fencing or wood fencing open enough to see through easily. So we're recommending that the gaps be opened to allow some more visibility. And also staff recommends the stone use limited on the front elevation and largely in the area above the doorway to somewhat break up the large expanse of stone on that front elevation. And with that, I'm open for questions.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff?
I take it that the removal of the existing structure was the old Dean residence?
I'm not sure on what the name of the residence was.
It's about a 1950s structure. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions for staff?
The applicants are here to answer any questions, too.
With that, we'll close the staff report. Do we have any members of the public interested in commenting today? Yes, sir, please stand. Do we have a sign in?
There is a sign in sheet. I don't know if anyone actually signed in.
I don't even matter.
No, no one signed in on it.
You
get a
tour.
I have Jim Boyle, the applicant. We've looked at the staff recommendations, and we accept certainly and acknowledge the use of maybe too much, a bit more stone than should be around the front entryway. So we have a revised or alternate design. It's actually a revised design, which we're prepared to submit with our building application permit should we receive the COA. And it essentially eliminates the stone across the top of the front door entrance and replaces that with metal panels. And likewise, we reduce the amount of stone on either side of the front entrance, also with metal panels. So we accept that without any problem at all. The one question I would ask, though, is if the commission would reconsider the staff recommendation on opening up the fence. I did some research and reviewed the EB's 4.10 on fencing and what it applies to and so forth and the various fences, etc. And I think it appears to me in reading that section dealing with it's for openness, if you will, is really focusing on prairies and farmland areas, more open areas. Madrona Way is viewed as a collector road by the county, so there's a fair bit of traffic on it. It's not a real rural setting, so to speak. It's more a suburban setting. So we would ask that the commission, if they would, consider leaving the fence as we have proposed. That would be our suggestion. We're not opposed to opening it up a little bit, but given the amount of traffic and public on that road, we would appreciate having it as we propose for privacy reasons. In answer to the earlier question about is it the old Dean House, I believe it is. It was built in 1949, and it was left vacant in some foreclosure actions for, I think, over 2 years. So the house itself has been left in rather poor condition. So that's why we decided, rather than try to renovate it, to go ahead and take down the house, if you will, demolish it and replace it with a new house.
I'd just like to say this sounds like an amazing project, and as you know, you're one of the most most beautiful roads in America.
Correct. That's why we couldn't resist the temptation to take this on, quite honestly.
I'd like to comment, though, concerning the loss of the structures that we have in the reserve represent an evolution from pioneering, pioneering days up to the present. And incrementally, we're losing structures that represent this evolution of time. And even though the Dean House has been neglected over the years, it was built by local craftsmen, and they were built to pretty good standards. We've lost two now in the last year and a half, one on the Mazzal property over across the cove, and the other one on the Monroe Landing Road site. And these houses were all representative of the 40s and 50s era. And sure, they're not the big glamorous Victorian structures that we see scattered here and there, but nonetheless, they're part of the history of the reserve. And as each one of these disappears, a part of the reserve's history goes with it. So this is my concern. And sure, they're old and they're dated, but so are our Victorians and pioneer structures. Nobody wants to live in a blockhouse, but we don't tear them down. We have a trust board here that is utilizing all of their energies and facilities to restore and preserve the existing buildings that we have of pioneer stock. I've known the Dean family now. I shouldn't be introducing personal feelings into this hearing, but they were pioneers in this community that helped build the community. So all I'm saying is that we are losing a little bit more of our history with each time one of these structures disappears. But that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you for your perspective. Appreciate that.
Yep.
I just want to ask a question about the surrounding structures. What do we have dates on those? Are they
There is a new house directly to the south of us, which has only recently been permitted, and the woman is waiting to move in when her new house is constructed. I'm not too sure, Sarah, if you know about the house to the north.
I don't know specifically. No. Yeah. I know that none of the there aren't any historic buildings right along that area until you get up to where the Libby House is and the old county courthouse.
So would you like to be right on it?
Are we complete?
I think we're still. I have a response to one of his responses, so I ask him to stay up at the podium. To respond to Ron, something that we could do, and it's actually within the purview of the commission, but we've never done it because it was already done before the commission was formed, is expand the inventory. Right now, our historic structures district. The inventory that covers the historic district only goes to 1945, and we can expand that and talk about doing a project maybe next year or the year after to include structures that were constructed later that have already hit that 50-year mark, where we can maybe add to the district or create kind of a concurrent one. So that's something that we can discuss. It's within the purview of the commission. As it stands, those structures are not contributing, and so they don't get the protections that we allow under our ordinance. So it's something that we can revisit at a future time, a way to protect those buildings as well that have become significant in the last 60 to 70 years. I do want to respond to the fence. While I see his point about that a lot of the fences are more related to open land, there's a couple of issues here that make it, the restriction applicable. I think one of them is that it is an applicable guideline within VRA1, and so it should be applied. We try to be as consistent as we can be, while taking individual cases into account. I would be concerned to have a series of privacy fences rimming Madrona Road. It is a much more closed, it's not an open field, it's a much more closed area. There's a lot more foliage and trees and things, so it has a much different feel than an open prairie does, but I still would not want to set a precedent for having privacy fences all along the road, because there is still a lot of visual interest available to see, being able to see the water in certain places and see other elements of this. So I would encourage having a more open fence to allow for that view to continue and not set a precedent for privacy fences on the drone. So that's what I would say. Thank you.
Yes.
Sarah?
So what would you recommend then, for how open should we make it?
The guideline is, it doesn't give specifics. It says open enough to be easily seen through. One option that we give that a lot of people take advantage of is doing a wire fence with foliage in it. So it is more blocking, but it looks more natural to fit in with the landscape as opposed to a solid wood fence. I couldn't say what exactly would be, just, I guess, enough to be clearly visually accessible.
Yeah, well, my question then goes on to the fact that if we approve this with the fence that's more open, we have to give you some guidelines, so otherwise you don't know what to do.
Well, that would be something you could refer to the staff. You could work with us to find an acceptable solution to that.
Jim, was the original house in any kind of condemnation status?
Not that I'm aware of. We purchased it from a bank who had had it on the market for over 2 years. There's a lot of mold in the house. The roof is gone, et cetera, et cetera. So, as I said, our initial approach was to essentially take it down to the studs, if you will, inside, and then, you know, renovate it. But we also found out there are certain areas of the older section of the house that don't have three-wire electrical. There's no ground wire in certain rooms. So when you start to consider all of those issues, we decided the best course of action after talking to some builders was just to proceed, you know, as we are proposing.
Thank you.
Did we have any other questions? Thank you. Does any other member of the public wish to comment? The public comment period is closed. Any additional questions from you? Would anyone like to propose a motion?
I would recommend we approve the application with the condition staff that is recommended.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have moved to approve with the conditions staff, which are the fence, visibility or ability to be seen through. With that, approved of the motion, please raise your hand. Appears to be unanimous. The motion has been approved. And with that, close the hearing. It is now 10:56.
Oh, sir. Before we close the meeting, I would like to suggest, if this hasn't already been done, that letters of appreciation be issued to Harry and Wilbur for their years of service on the board.
I would agree with that. Can we ask staff to draft that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, drafting letters of appreciation for
yes. Just with something that either staff or all of us can countersign, that would be handy. Yes. All right. We stop it here. Close the hearing. Thank you for all the help I received today.
You did it, Doug.
Thank you for your help.
Well, you know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I submitted my resignation at the last question.
How many open
resignations? Well, I haven't gotten any official.
Congratulations, at least, Chair.
Because I turned on the magnet to the from
them. Send me this note. Could we just keep it
in the
They got used to you, Chair.
So you, when we were at the meeting, was it you that was saying that you had a previous place that's 50%?
Our biggest
threshold.
Not a research. That's actually
a
question.
Yeah,
but I was
that we make sure that your coffee pot was
So many circumstances.
So.
Going through and categorizing. What's Virginia's extension?
Yeah.
I don't know. I always forget because I have to call her all the time.
These guys are the first steps here because they've been. It's one of their functions that they've never
done.
So we just did 845. We redid it some before last month. But we could definitely start laying groundwork to do another section for 45 and 60. Just start the inventory for those and then decide if any of them are eligible and will be eligible.
Can we skip the 70 and 80? Yeah, that's all
right. Just stop at 60.
Someone addressed it years ago.
There was folks that don't know their name, like Herbert Card,
So we need to get it down to 7.
They utilized this to say, look what we've done for the nation. Re-elect us.
But there's still a legacy from that. I think some of us appreciate it.
Well, I hope so. Sometimes I think I'm just an old fool, the best way to grow a
I have a grant meeting with Julie tonight.
And I understand that by being on the board.
Did you go check out the story?
Yeah,
but I don't know.